Okay, first of all, what I'd like to ask you is, what's your musical experience or your musical background, like, say, before you were with the Eddie Band? What are some of the things that you did?
Well, when I was a youngster, they didn't have any school bands or anything financed like that. Anything you did, you had to do it on your own, take private lessons. And the folks, of course, couldn't afford everything, and I had to do odd jobs on Saturdays and even Sundays to get enough money so I could pay to take these lessons. And at that time, anybody playing in a vaudeville house, or drummers in the vaudeville house, were considered top-notch professionals because there weren't too many symphony orchestras out, and so you just had to take lessons from anyone who was capable of teaching it to you. So I got my basic lessons. I was interested in music a long time, but I wasn't able to take any lessons until I was able to get a little financial aid of my own. The folks weren't able to afford it. So doing odd jobs and everything, at that time, they used to charge me 25 cents a lesson, so although it seems trivial now, but in them days, 25 cents was hard to get by. So I took lessons for about 3 years that way, once a week, and then I practiced and practiced and practiced. And I happened to, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, and they had a few bands there that generally played for parades, or some of the bands played in concerts in the summertime in the park. And I happened to hear a band at rehearsal one day, and I went up there and listened to it, and the drummer happened to know my folks. And we got to talking, and he says, if you want to come to rehearsal, bring your drum, sit right alongside of me. The leader wouldn't object. So that was my basic training of getting experience. Of course, I was scared stiff and everything. In them days, you didn't do any faking. You read what was on the music, and you played just like it was written. You daren't hit a wrong note or anything like that. Even though I was just a teenager, I still got enough learning, that experience by playing that. And consequently, after about 2 years of that stuff, I was able to go out and play a parade with the same band. Of course, and then they got paid for it, but I tagged along just for the experience, and I was scared stiff. That was all there was to it, keeping time and not having the experience, and then playing with experienced musicians like that, it really gave me a start. And instead of being discouraged, it just enabled me to continue right on going. And I took a liking to it, and I kept right on going. And finally, one little job left to another, and you started getting the experience. See, of course, they had dance orchestras at that time. It was either a concert band or a dance orchestra, and I wasn't too interested in dance music, playing for dancing, but I did like band music, and I wanted to be a vaudeville drummer. But by the time I got to know how to play good enough to play any of those things, the vaudeville drummers were, the vaudeville orchestra was just disbanded because the talkies came into the movie pictures, and there was no longer any need for any more live music in there, and that was the end of my career trying to be a vaudeville drummer. So I just stuck to it and stuck to the band music, see. And one thing led to another, and I just kept at it. And when you're young that way, you just don't get into any organization like that. You just have to work your way in and build up some kind of reputation, so if anything happened to the regular drummer, like he had to go out of town that day, or he couldn't get out of court or anything like that, I would be the standby there. They only had a bass drummer who played bass drum and the cymbals, and then the snare drum who played the snare drum and whatever tracks were necessary. And so I got quite a bit of experience that way, and finally I was able to go along and got the basics of it and able to be able to play in a band.
Do you remember what year this was when you said you filled in with the band, they let you sit up and play with them? Do you remember what year this was?
I think it was 1915 or 1916, somewhere along in there, see. I was still going to school, you know, and they used to rehearse Sunday mornings. That was the only time that they could get a band together, see. And it isn't anything comparable to the Eddie band that we got here, but in them days, in order to get any kind of a job to play for fairs or parades or any special civic doing anything, the band still had to rehearse. They didn't get paid for it, of course, but they still had to rehearse and be able to play any of these jobs that happened to come up and they were required to play for it. They still had to play good enough in order to be entertaining and have the people enjoy it. And there was no such thing as making mistakes or anything like that, because they kept rehearsing once or twice, three times a month, just to keep the band together. There weren't that many jobs where you could play constantly everything. It probably basic Memorial Day parade, or 4th of July, Labor Day parade, or Thanksgiving Day parades, or some big city doings like a playing for picnic or a fair or a thing like that. So playing was actually limited to that type of music, see.
When did you move to Saginaw?
Back in 1921, my mother had a lot of trouble with her feet, see? And my father had worked hard, so we all moved to Florida. And when I moved down there, of course I was a teenager, and we moved to Orlando, Florida. And at that time, Orlando, Florida, the population was only about 8,000 people. Today it's over 100,000. And I lived in Orlando for 8 years and got married down there. And in 1927, I came to Saginaw. And got started as a drummer for the Eddie Band.
I know that Bill Mertens was, by a lot of accounts, was one of the main men that got Mr. Eddie interested in supporting the band. And I know you knew Bill pretty well. Did you know Mr. Eddie at all? Did you meet him?
No, I didn't meet Eddie or Anson, who was the leader of the band. The Eddie State, I think, established a fund to take effect in January of 1927. In the meantime, Arthur Andren, who was the leader of the band, was supposed to take over, but he died. And then they had to get a leader to lead the band. And at that time, there was a traveling show on the road known as Ben Hur. And Charles Mann conducted the traveling orchestra that was with the show. And he put in his application for the leadership of the Saginaw Eddie Band. And out of all the applicants that were there, he was elected as the conductor of the Eddie Band. Excuse me. But they started rehearsals in January of 1927, I think, once or twice a week. And the Eddie band, or the band as it was, didn't have a snare drummer, because Chet Bauer, who used to be their regular drummer, his brother and he, they went into business, and one of the stipulations I heard it was, his brother told Chet Bauer, if you play in a band, forget about the business. But if you play in a band, if you play in a, if you're going to take a, take, you'll go in business with me, you have to forget about the band. So Chet Bauer decided he'd better give up the band and go in business with his brother, and that left an opening for a snare drummer. And obviously, there wasn't any snare drummers around here at that time, and I was still playing in the Orlando Municipal Band in Orlando, Florida, and their season runs from first week in January to the first week in April, and they played 12 concerts a week. That is 2 in the afternoons, and 1 in the afternoon, 1 evening, with Sunday night and Monday night off. Although we didn't, we were scheduled to play 12 concerts a week, we only got in about probably 9, because the other, either in the afternoon or evening, probably rain or something, we didn't get all of them in there, see. And some friends was telling about somehow they got a hold of Charlie Mann, and word got out that I was going to leave Orlando after the band season was over, because there wasn't anything new down there, and I had recently got married, and I was going to go out somewhere. And he contacted me and asked me if I would be interested in joining the band in Saginaw. He said he would get me a daytime job in one of the places around in here if I would play with the band. And we corresponded back and forth, and he asked me what type of music we played and everything. Well, the Chamber of Commerce in Orlando, Florida, they have put out a weekly pamphlet, probably 12, 15 page pamphlet, and on that pamphlet they listed the pieces they were going to play at each concert on that pamphlet, so all 12 concerts were listed. And rather than tell him what I what we played or anything, I just sent him 2 or 3 of those books representing each separate week there. And when he got that, he said, that's just what I need. And after we got the correspondence, I decided I think I better come up here. It's better than staying down there doing nothing. And I come up in here, and I left there. They were going to have a concert in April 5th. And I think I left Orlando right after, on April 1st. It took 3 days to get here with train, and I got into the depot there, and I got out there, and they were going to have a rehearsal the night that I arrived, because the concert was the next day. And I had the details of where to go. I went down to the hotel, got myself a room, and then took my instruments and went to the rehearsal room, and he greeted me. And glad to see it. He said, did anybody meet you at the depot? I said, no, nobody met me there. I just come up in here. And he turned to his clarinet player, who was known as Webb Loringer. And Mr. Charlie Mann says to him, he says, Webb, didn't I ask you to go to the depot and meet him? And Webb Loringer says, well, I saw him get off the train, but he looked like a little school kid. He didn't look like a musician to me, so I just went out there and everything. And when he mentioned that to the group there, everybody laughed, everything. Well, needless to say, that evening, Charlie Mann threw a lot of band music that consisted of a lot of drum solos in there, snare drum solos. And lucky, or whatever you want to call it, I know some of them, some I didn't hear, but everything went through smoothly, and he started smiling and laughing about it, and he was happy that it worked out all right. But the big thing of it was that I was supposed to have the xylophones along with me, but I couldn't carry the xylophones along with me. They had to mail them up later on or ship them up later on. And then when the xylophones arrived, we started playing two, three numbers. Why, Charlie just took me into his arms and treated me just as though I was his son there, and he treated me good ever since and everything, and that's how we get started with the Eddie Band.
So was Charlie Mann the first director that you played under?
Charlie Mann was the first director of the Eddie Band.
So how long have you been with the Eddie Band now?
Well, this would be the 53rd year. In other words, it started in 1927, and I started with them. Of course, I was the baby of the band at that time, and they've been playing along. They've had several leaders since Charlie Mann, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to continue playing with them.
What all instruments have you played with the Eddie Band, besides snare drum?
No, primarily percussion and xylophones. All the percussion instruments and the xylophones. See on that. The xylophones are featured numbers. We have xylophone numbers with band arrangements, full complements of it, and he features those numbers on various occasions. See.
Can you remember your first concert with the Eddie Band? The first concert you played?
Yeah, I couldn't help remembering, because it was in the old auditorium, and if my memory served me right, it was supposed to be the musicians' ball that night, where several orchestras played at the same time. And the first night is the band played from 8 to 9 o'clock, and from then on, every half hour, various Saginaw orchestras took over and played the thing. Of course, after that, we used to play either Sunday afternoon or Sunday night during the winter months in the auditorium. And then when the summertime came along, then they'd play out in the various parks. It'd be the Hoyt Park, Bliss Park, Courtney Park, and the Courthouse Square, and whatever civic affairs that turned up there, or different various parades or civic affairs where the band was required. We kept us pretty busy that first year.
So you played more than just the summer then?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was when the Eddie Band first started. It was a year-round proposition. Like they say, they wouldn't play during the month, say from Thanksgiving on till after New Year's. Everybody was busy. They didn't have no concerts then, but then they would resume the concerts after that during the winter month, probably once or twice a month until the summer season, summertime started, and then they would play in the various parks.
Do you remember some of the early musicians that you played with in the Eddie Band in the first years?
Yeah.
Could you name a few of them?
Well, there was my sidekick bass drummer, it was Charlie Uphoff, and it was Mike Brandeis, and Elmer Fitzgerald, and Roy Thomas on trumpets, and Webb Laringer, Patty Gutshot, and Martin Kemp on bass, and his brother, I think Fred was on French horn, and there was the Richardson boys, one on trombone, the other on bass. There was Walter Demiak on the trombone, and a couple of other important men were there, like Herb Smith on trumpet, and Percy Mace on French horn, and Gordon Peterson on flute and piccolo, and they had quite a few of them there. I just can't pick them right off, but those boys, there was Carl Hinty and Bill on French horn, Bill Hinty on trumpet, and Henry Hinty on clarinet, and there was a couple of the Jones boys on playing saxophone. like I say, I can't remember all that 53 years ago, and those are some of the boys that you just couldn't forget. They were so good to me, and I mean, everybody went out of their way to help us. We were new here, and we just married, you know, and their wives took care of my wife and made us all feel comfortable and feel at home, and so you don't forget those things.
Would you say the music has changed very much, like, say, from when you first started to what the Eddie Band does now, the type of music?
Oh, yes, yes, very much so. When the Eddie Band first started, all we played was basic music, just the old standby, see? But today, it's so diversified that they even play dance music and rock and roll music in the band arrangements, that it all sounds good. And they play a lot of musicals now that we didn't play before. And they feature, you got so many more talented musicians nowadays that each section has their own first chair, man. They can play solos on any instruments in any sections. And it's a lot more diversified. With the Eddie Band now, with approximately 60-piece band, most of them are majoring in music, and they're all top-notch musicians as it is, whereas when the Eddie Band started out, we only had about probably 20 or 25 pieces. And then most of those were men who worked during the daytimes and couldn't go to any rehearsal in the daytime, I think, so everything had to be either on the evenings or at times when there wasn't any work. I can remember during the war years, we couldn't pick out any evening to have a night where you get all the men together to have a rehearsal. Some were working nights and working days and different shifts going on. So for a while there, the concert would be usually at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoons. What we'd do there, we'd have a rehearsal at 12 o'clock Sunday afternoon and rehearse about an hour and a half, hour and three quarters, and from there, go right to the whatever part we were playing to give a concert. That's how things were so tight that they couldn't get the men together because of their working conditions.
Did it ever get so tight that you had to come on the job and do sight reading or not?
No, we always managed to have a rehearsal. We never played a concert without a rehearsal.
Could you list the names of the conductors that you've played under?
Yes, well, we started out with Charlie Mann. And when he left, then Billy Boost took over. And after that, I think Earl Burnett took over for a little while. He was the one of the school teachers here in the high schools. And he lasted, I think, one or two seasons. And when he took over, then Joseph Chernyowski took over for several years. And when Chernyowski left, then Jim Dye took over. And then after Jim left, Monty Shilo took over. And then after Monty Shilo left, then George Anderson took over.
Since you've been playing with all these men, when you change conductors, does that change the band very much? Does it make it easier or more difficult, or just the fact that you change conductors?
Well, the fact is that when you're experienced, it doesn't make any difference who the conductor is. You can follow them right along, see. But with the changing of conductors, they're going to have different styles, different types of music than the original conductors had. They had their basics and they played that, whereas the younger musicians, the younger conductors come in, they've got a little bit more changes they make. Fortunately, it's for the better, and they put on more spice to the band and pep it up a lot more, and they don't just stick to the basics of just playing the music just as it's written and make it more enjoyable for the public without too much hardship on the musicians.
Have the instruments changed very much, the various way they're made, or?
Oh yes, my gosh, yeah, the instruments they make nowadays are far, far superior than what they were 30, 40 years ago. They're easier to play, and they're easier to execute, and you can control and master them much better than you can years ago. There's been a lot of changes. Of course, this is just my opinion. I'm not in that particular, I'm not up on that as far as the brass or reeds are concerned, all those things, but I can tell from observing them that the instruments are a lot better looking now, and I assume they're a lot easier to play than the old type standard instruments.
Would you say that the crowds have changed in any way since when you first started? Like, are there more people now or less, and are there more younger people or older people, or?
No, right now I say the crowds are tremendously large. In the old days, we didn't have a decent place to play with. There wasn't any benches where you could sit down and everything, and they had parking problems. So it was only a small gathering that would go to all of the concerts, but when you're playing in various sections of the city, the people who live in that section, they would go listen to the band, but they wouldn't go to some other section, primarily, I believe, because they didn't have any transportation to get there. But now that the band is centralized and practically everybody has a car that they can go to it, the crowds are very gratifying right now, and it encourages the people to go listen to the bands. It's appealing, and one thing about it, the way George Anderson plays that music, nobody can go to sleep on it. He's got them all on their toes, and all, no matter what number he plays, it still keeps you awake. And like out in the Arthur Hill Stadium, you have two choices. You can sit in the stands along the sides there, or you can bring your own folding chair and sit right in the middle of the stadium there, or you bring your blanket, sit down there and everything, and you really got a choice of where you want to sit, because the music is amplified enough so that no matter where you sit, they can hear it.
Do you get very, more or less all ages come to the concerts, from the young to the...
Oh yes, yeah. I notice, of course, the middle-aged group and the elderly group, they're standards there. But I do see a lot of young people attending the concerts.
Did you get a variety of people, like when the first Eddie band, did you get a variety of different age groups too?
No. They were either families that had little children, they'd bring them along with them, and it was more or less a family entertainment. If the children came with the family, that's what they heard, what they saw, but they didn't have any particularly young people. But when we used to play in the Courthouse Square, they used to have a bandstand there. We used to play there Saturday nights. There'd be a lot of young folks there, and while we were playing, these young folks would promenade around the bandstand, the sidewalk around. The girls would go one direction, the boys would go in the other direction, so they both could see each other as they're passing, and you know, both going in opposite directions, and there's a lot of influx of young people there, see. But Saturday night was a sort of it was an atmosphere of family gathering, like everything, and which did not prevail upon the weekly concerts, and like would be at Hoyt Park or Bliss Park or Forney Park.
What do you like the most about playing with the Eddie Band, would you say?
Well, all I can say is I'm glad I can play, and I still like to play. That's about all I can say. And playing with George Anderson, he's pepped up the band so much there. He's put in all this lively music there, and he just keeps you on your toes and ought to be able to have you play and keep up with the band. All I say is I'm just glad I'm able to play yet, see?
So how would you compare, like, say, the Eddie Band in 1927 with the Eddie Band in 1979?
No comparison. The 1927 band was just a group of musicians playing old-time standard music. The 1979 Eddie Band is a collection of good musicians. There are a lot of young musicians that are majoring in music in the colleges, and the type of music that they play in the concerts on Sundays here is a lot more diversified and a lot more entertaining, and they don't go by the old standard routine of playing the old type of music all the time. There's a lot of fluctuation going on, and I could say for the better, because it takes in all types of music, and it's going to appeal to anyone who's out there in the audience.
Okay, what type of music do you like playing the most with the band? Would it be marches or the show tunes, or what type do you like playing the best yourself personally?
Well, personally, makes no difference to me. I like them all. As long as they got parts written for us, I'm satisfied.
So in other words,
I have no special preference for anything. Anything that George puts on that stand there and everything, I'm perfectly happy with it.
What about, like, the rehearsals now as compared to the rehearsals back in the early days? Are they harder now, or were they harder back then, or?
Well, they were harder back then because, like I say, most everybody worked in the daytime, and they didn't have time to practice on their instruments like a good many of them do today. They didn't work 8 hours a day in them days. They worked probably 9, 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day. And, excuse me, a lot of them come home and they're too tired to pick up their instrument and then try and rehearse and then come back in there, and they're just too tired. They can't, although we only had rehearsal once a week them days, they still were tired during the weekdays to do a lot of practicing. In my case, where I'm percussion, I have to use my hands. I don't have to use a lip like these other musicians do, and consequently I don't have to practice as much as they would. So it was much harder on the boys in 1927 than they are for the present members. That's my estimation.
Do you have any other thoughts or any stories, or just like any performing, have you ever had any humorous experiences where things didn't go right, or has it usually been pretty smooth where everything goes according to pattern?
Well, not really. During the war years, like I say, we had trouble getting the band together for a rehearsal, and they also had trouble getting that same group for a concert, although a lot of them did sacrifice in order to play the concert. And the thing that is in there, that when summertime came along, a lot of people had to take vacations. And when Mr. Booth took over, he was more or less of a stickler for details. He said, if you're going to play the concert, you got to come to the rehearsals. Of course, that's the basic with all leaders. If you can't attend a rehearsal, you don't play the concerts either. But in Booth's time, there weren't that many musicians available that you could pick from Saginaw to make a band that's worthy of its name. And even in Booth's time, he still had to go out of Saginaw County to get some musicians to fill in for the local boys who couldn't show up. And it was a, I imagine it was a strain on the leader to try and get a full complement of men to play the concert that he had selected for that. And there's always that possibility of not a, of attending the rehearsal, but not attending the concert for the simple reason that you probably had a flat tire, or you couldn't have mechanical trouble with your car, you couldn't show up at the concert. And when you got a 25-piece band, when one or two don't show up, it makes a difference. But when you got a 60-piece band and one or two don't show up, nobody's going to notice the difference.
What would you say would be the strong point of the Eddie Band today?
Well, my estimation is that all the band members are cooperating to their fullest to make sure they play their parts. And of course, it's a known fact, they've all got to be punctual, they've all got to be on time. And when rehearsal time comes, they rehearse. They don't fool around or just giggle around or just try to pass the time away. They're all rehearsing. It's all strictly business. They pay attention to what the leader says, and they do their work, so when the time comes to play the concert, they're all prepared.
Okay, is there anything that you'd like to say that I left out or that you would want to say that you feel would be important?
Well, all I can say is I'm sure glad I'm playing with a 60-piece band instead of a 25-piece band. It makes the difference. With a 25-piece band, you got a bass drummer and a snare drummer. The snare drummer playing percussion parts. But with a 60-piece band, you got a timpani player, you got a bass drum player, you got a cymbal player, and you got two snare drummers. And in my case, a lot of time when we play the paid marches, the timpani player doesn't have any march music, so he comes over and plays snare drum, and I go over to play the bells. And all five of us are always busy in our section. And if one of us didn't show up, they would miss it because the volume isn't there, and we'd all have to be there, but everybody's qualified to do their part and step into the other part if it's necessary.
Did you ever play like the timpanis with the Eddie Band or anything?
No, I never bothered with timpani for the simple reason that somehow or other I don't have a hearing aid problem, but I'd have trouble tuning up. I can't tell a pitch real good, man. You gotta be fast in that stuff, so I decided way back 50 years ago that I'm not going to touch the timpanis in any shape, manner, or form. Let somebody more qualified do that. Outside of that, I've taken care of everything else.
Do you play anything else besides percussion? Have you ever had interest in any of the other instruments?
No, just strictly percussion.
Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Okay, well, I don't think I have... There might be some things I left out, but at this... At the spur of the moment, you can't very well think of it, but those are the basics of what I can tell you that's happened in the meantime.
Okay, thank you very much.